Last week, we heard the story of Albrecht Dürer, who drew a sketch of praying hands. Now, this sketch and all subsequent copies, well, they're about 500 years old now, and even that preliminary sketch was just a preliminary drawing by Dürer himself. It was actually done for a much larger work. In 1507, as I shared with you last week, he was commissioned by Jacob Heller to paint a triptych altarpiece, that's three pieces basically, on the Assumption and Coronation of the Virgin Mary for a church in Frankfurt, Germany. Now the praying hands, so beloved today, was merely a sketched pattern that Dürer used for the hands of an apostle kneeling near her tomb. Now, since the early 1900s, there's actually have been many false stories circulating that these hands were his brother's hands, that he used them as a model, and that his brother became a miner so that he could become a painter. Check your history on that, because unfortunately that's not true at all, a very wealthy family. Regardless, the original sketch of the praying hands still exists. It looks something like this. But the Heller altarpiece that he originally designed was actually destroyed by fire in 1729 after it was moved to the residence in Munich. Today, the praying hands is housed at the Albertina in Vienna, Austria. Now, last week, we also focused on the passage from Psalm 24 that speaks of clean hands. We talked about our hands, yours and mine as well, are dirty from sin. And as Scripture tells us, dirty hands can never approach God's holy altar. But we also talked about how Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the root of Jesse, the Messiah who was to come, stretched out his perfect sinless hands on the cross in order to forgive us and to give us good gifts so that we can serve our neighbor. We also emphasized the importance of prayer as being a good way of using our hands. And now this week, we continue our theme of praying hands with the following from Psalm 50, verse 15, which we read earlier. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. So shall we begin? In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Call upon me. Who is it exactly that we are supposed to call upon? Psalm 50, verse 1 tells us this. The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth. You see, God, your Father in heaven, summons you to pray. And not only that, God mandates prayer. In 7th and 8th grade catechism class tonight, we learned about that word mandata, mandate, Maundy Thursday. Jesus commands prayer. But it doesn't just stop there. That would be just law. There's also gospel. God also promises to hear the prayers of his people. Call upon me in the day of trouble, God commands, and then comes the promise, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. You see, when it comes to prayer, and all of us sometimes have questions about it, we must first look to our Lord. Jesus prays. If you read your New Testament or listen carefully, Jesus is always praying. Matter of fact, even in the final throes of his own death upon the cross for you, he prays. Father, forgive them. He prays for you. He prays to his Father. Into your hands, Father, I commend my very spirit. You see, Jesus lives perfectly by faith in his Father, his Father's word and will. Jesus lives the life of love for you. And so faith, the faith that you were given in baptism, the faith that first came to you when that word first entered your tiny ears, faith prays. Faith naturally prays. It's what faith does. And so Jesus prays perfectly for you. His prayers avail for you and for your salvation. After all, remember that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. See 1 Timothy 2 if you're confused on that. and then remember his prayers hanging on the cross. You see, as such, prayer and praying is something to be learned. Do you remember what his own apostles asked and begged of Jesus? Teach us to pray. It's okay to ask. It's okay to beg if you struggle with prayer. So let us at least learn this, if nothing else tonight. Prayer is to be learned. And it's to be learned, don't look at me, from Jesus. Let's start with it this way. Prayer in its most simple form is simply a polite conversation with God the Father. You notice the adjective I use there? Polite. In a polite conversation, two people do what? They don't talk at the same time. They're respectful of each other. And since you're God's children, what is the polite thing to do for you in prayer? Well, first it means that God the Father speaks. Catch that? He speaks first. Remember that passage from Psalm 50, verse 1 that I read earlier? The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks, and then he summons the earth. So the first thing you need to do when you start to think about prayer is let God speak. It means that he speaks first, and it means that you and I are to hush up for a change. To close this big hole at the front of our mouth, under our nose, if you don't know where it's at, or your mustache if you have one, and to let him speak. Listen to him. He has his say. He's got something on his mind. And it's the same reason as we've taught our own children that they should only speak to their father or their mother after they've been spoken to. You ever heard that one? Now, children learn how to talk by first listening. We see this especially with little ones. Parents speak first. Then the children imitate. Now, when we moved down to Arkansas many years ago, it seems almost like a lifetime ago, our boys were pretty young. And neither my wife nor I have a southern accent. You've probably noticed that. But yet, who else did my children listen to besides me and my beautiful wife? They listened to our congregation members and the people around them, and they began to develop a southern drawl. I can't even hardly do it. So much so that one of our children, he shall remain nameless this night, still has a little bit of that drawl. He was born into it, you see. Children first learn by hearing. They imitate. Word for word, inflection, they say back what they've heard. Backtalk, repeating what dad and mom have said, even those words that mom and dad wish they hadn't heard. But what joy it does bring to mom and dad when they repeat something that's good. Did you hear what little Johnny said? Oh, he said it just like we said it. Oh, that's so awesome. So think of prayer this way. Teach us how to pray, Jesus. You see, he gives us the words to pray, southern drawl or not. Jesus provides the content of prayer. From Luke chapter 11, Jesus answered his disciples' request, and he said this, "When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil." Wow. These are the words now to be heard and to be repeated. Now, next lesson. You also better know to whom you're praying. Because you see, prayer to God, the Father, is what Jesus says. But nobody dared to pray like that in Jesus' day, and most people don't today. You see, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is also your Father. That's why Scripture talks about you having been adopted. Adoption. You and I, who were born as literally children of the devil, the Holy Spirit comes in, kicks the devil out of our hearts and literally out of our bodies, and rescues us and writes your name in his family tree. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is your Father. And the Catechism teaches us this as well. So with these words, God tenderly invites you to believe that he is your true Father and that you are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence you may do what? Ask him as dear children ask their dear. Very good. Some of you know your catechism. Some of you need to refresh yourself. But you dare to pray like that because Jesus teaches you to pray that way. You see, Jesus suffered and died so that you can call God. Really, people? Jesus suffered and died so that you can call God. Thank you. Jesus died so that you can speak to God the
Father.
Very good. You're catching on. So that you have access to him. And guess what? The Father in heaven, your true Father, he absolutely loves it when you do that. It's like a proud papa. It's like when my grandparents came to visit here this last weekend and to watch my children, Grandma, Grandpa, run up and hug them. And to see my mom and dad's eyes and face light up when their grandchildren ran to them like that, some of you know what I'm talking about. That's how God the Father feels when you pray to him. So that there's no misunderstanding, though, Jesus mandates that you pray to Father, not Mother, not Father, Mother, as if Jesus wasn't politically correct enough to know the difference. Jesus knew about mothers. He had one of his own, after all. And he loved his mother Mary very deeply and cared for her even up to his death. But if you search scriptures, you'll find something interesting. Jesus never ever directs his disciples or you to pray to her. In addition, Jesus never prayed to God as mother. You see, the pressure in Jesus' day was absolutely huge. Because of the pagan religions at the time, all of them had goddesses. And most of the religious leaders in the pagan world were priestesses. The world was your mother, thus the language Mother Earth. That's where that comes from. Sound familiar? You see, to pray to God as Father and not Mother actually labels Jesus and his disciples as haters, as bigots, and as enemies of true spirituality. So Jesus, in teaching you to pray, goes totally against the idolatrous, politically correct cultures and most other world religions. You are not free to use whatever name you choose for God. Don't say, "Dear Barney who is in heaven." Don't pray to Bob the Builder. Don't make up names for him. He has a name. It's Father. Use it. You see, Jesus is categorical and very clear. He dares to preach and teach the truth. God is his Father and your Father, and you only have access to God through his name, and it's simply Father. God the Father, who is God for you. He created you, and he has redeemed you through his Son. He has sanctified you through the Holy Spirit. So let's review. Call upon me in the day of I will deliver, and you shall glorify. Very good. So let's take a deep breath and note that Jesus even sets the agenda for your praying. Jesus actually defines, are you ready for this? He defines your needs. You don't. Now that's really a good thing. It really is. But this might be an eye-opener for you. You see, when you pray to God, you're actually learning to pray against yourself and to actually pray for the things that really matter. Jesus tells you to pray for these things. Pray that the Father's name will be holy on your lips and in your lives. For you live holy lives when you live according to God's word, not your own. Pray that his kingdom comes to you through the word of the gospel preached and the sacraments given, which also assumes that you're regularly hearing and receiving these things. Pray that his will be done among you, that your sinful nature, the devil, and the world are thwarted, and that heaven is yours. Pray for daily bread. Recognize that all you have, everything, comes from Him, and give Him thanks for it. I got out of the shower this morning, sorry for that mental picture, and I noticed that there was something hanging off of one of my toes. It was a really, really long toenail that I had neglected. And I started to pull on it, and you know what happens sometimes when you pull on a nail? It tears, and it hurts. And at that point, I was looking for what? A pair of toenail clippers. And thanks be to God, in the drawer next to the sink is the toenail clippers. They're not always there. Sometimes the boys hide them. I was thanking God that there was a pair of toenail clippers there so that I could get on with my day. It seems so silly and so simple. But God provides for you in more ways than you know. Think about that even for the little things of your day. I don't know what number I'm on. Next, pray for the forgiveness of sins. Pray for the ability to forgive those who sin against you. Pray for protection against every temptation to sin and evil that would cause you to stumble and fall from faith. And then after you've prayed those things, as Jesus tells you to do, then simply say, Amen. Amen. Which means, I'm absolutely certain and sure that Father has heard me and that He will answer my prayer. No doubt about it. And so, it is very true. Call upon me in the day of, I will deliver, and you shall glorify. And so, you love to learn how to pray from Jesus. So go ahead, ask, seek, knock. The Heavenly Father loves to be asked. So go ahead. Jesus says it's okay. And Jesus offered His clean hands to the Father, outstretched upon the cross, where He Himself prayed for you. You are now free to pray. So ask boldly and confidently for what He promises to give you in His words. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. In the name of Jesus, Amen.